Isaiah chapter 6, if you will, please. Yes, sir. Preacher just found me and told me I was on deck, and all I could think of was the words of one of my mentors in school, Dr. Wheeler, who when Dr. Ruckman asked him to preach, he said, you know, you ought to be ready to preach, pray, or die. And I just thought, 2 out of 3 ain't bad, man. But Isaiah chapter 6, my pastor knows that I have a tremendous amount of respect for this office. And I'd like to testify from the very start of this that I took advantage of that at one point. And I told some folks here when I had the opportunity to preach one other time that I would never do that again. So if you're a pastor or a preacher or an evangelist in here, or a wife of one, or involved in the ministry in any way, even a preacher's kid or whatever you might be, it's a tremendous blessing and an honor to serve the Lord Jesus Christ in such a capacity. Okay, Isaiah chapter 6. If you look down at verse 8, and we'll start there. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, go and tell this people, hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, and make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert, and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? And he answered, until the cities be wasted, without inhabitant, and the houses without man, and the land be utterly desolate. And the Lord have removed men far away, and there be a great forsaking in the midst of the land. Let's pray. Dear Lord, Father, I thank you for the opportunity to serve you. I thank you for this meeting, Lord God, and I thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood. I thank you, Lord, that you would select a clout, a cast out clout and a dirty rag and a filthy wretch like me to do anything for you. And I am so unworthy, Father, and I thank you for your blessings and your grace upon my life. I thank you for these people, Lord, and I just ask you, Father, to use me in any way you see fit possible. I ask you to shut my own mouth up and just use me as a conduit for you to flow through now. And bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. In thinking about today, and there's no doubt that we are all talking about faithful service, and I regret to testify that I've been unfaithful at times, especially in my call to preach. And as Brother Fraunhofer said, you know, you question things, and you think that you're not good enough, and you think that you can't do things, and you think that you could never amount to anything for God because of who he is and what he's done for us. And as Brother Elliot put, that small infinitesimal speck of earth, and then inside that huge planet we live on, he finds us. And he goes, you. And you go, no, there's no way. You cannot possibly want me. But he does. And praise the Lord for it. The three things I want to mention here this morning, I've been going through a process where I've been dealing with myself, and the Lord's been dealing with me and thinking about those things and those struggles, and what am I doing, and why am I doing it this way, and why am I in school, and there's so many questions we all face each and every day, as you've heard this morning, as the various men have preached throughout these last couple days. But I found myself going back. Verse 8 is my calling verse. I was in a meeting one time, and you know, preachers were preaching, and things were going well, and God was dealing with me hard, and it came to that part in the verse, who shall I send, and who will go for us? And I knew what the Lord was asking of me, and I remember going home that day and walking down this dirt path near my house, and this was in North Carolina, and just laughing hysterically at myself as cars passed and going, you cannot possibly want me. You cannot possibly want me. And he's like, no, I do. You don't understand, but I do. It's okay, Joe. Okay, Lord. And so here we are. So the first thing I want to talk about in verse 8 and in verse 9 is the service that we're all called to and that he called me to. And as we move down in the verse 9 and 10, it's about the Savior. And in verse 11 and 12, it's the stand that we have to take. So as we look at the service, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, "Whom shall I send and who will go for us?" Then said I, here am I, send me. And he said, "Go and tell this people." We all have a duty to God to tell as many people as we can about the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. But are we being faithful in that service? In the service he's called you to, if you're a pastor, if you're a preacher, the call is obvious. If you're a pastor's wife, then you're there to be the helpmeet, right? You're there to assist your husband in that call. If you're a mother, you're supposed to raise your kids in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. We all have a duty to do for the Lord, no matter what that is, no matter how small it is, as some of the men have said today. But are we doing that service? Are we faithfully doing it day in and day out? Are we living the Christian life the way we're supposed to live it, day in and day out, trying to do everything we can to live out this book? And I'd like to think that most of the time we do fall short. Most of the time we fall short. I think it was the first night of the meeting. We had nothing planned for dinner. We were heading home. "Honey, what do you want to eat?" "I don't know. What do you want to eat?" You've all been there. Right? And I said, "Well, you're pregnant. What do you want? It's up to you. I'm not making this decision. I could say chicken and you'd be like, nope, okay." So she happened to say Bojangles. Okay, we'll get Bojangles. We got to the window and your kids, I'm sure some of you folks know, your kids will show you up in your Christianity more than you will. And we ordered the food and we got to the window. And like I said, I'm unfaithful. And you're saying, "Joe, this is going to be such a small thing." And I know it is. But we're waiting and we're chatting about the meeting, how great Dr. Wheeler and Dr. Walker were, and just what was going on. And Connor from the back seat, who's 8. "Do we have a track?" Do you have a track in your car? Okay. And she gave it to me and I handed it to him. After he handed us the food, "Hey man, read this on your break about the Lord Jesus Christ." I did my job. Like, it wasn't like, "Here, my son," you know. But he showed me up. How many times do you show yourself up because you're wrapped up in whatever you're wrapped up in? And you just got so much stuff going on. And he showed me up. And believe it or not, he does that all the time. And I'm glad y'all can laugh. And I laugh about it too. And I'm so thankful that he does that. And so thankful that we're instilling those things in him for that next generation. Right? As Brother Sonny was saying, we need the older men. I need you older men. I need some of you younger guys that are my age to help me sometimes. Because this stuff's hard, man. It's hard to get through this stuff. It's hard to do the right thing. But I've been unfaithful in my service. And he said, "Go, tell the people." We got to tell folks about the Lord Jesus Christ. We got to do whatever service he's called us to do. And it is about the Lord Jesus Christ, as I said in verse 9. "Hear ye indeed, but understand not. See ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes." Now look, I'm still in school. I can't expound the verse like some of these men can. Okay, I can only just give you what the Lord's given me out of the verse, because this is my calling passages that he called me to. And I had to revisit these things recently and go, "Lord, why am I doing exactly what I'm doing?" Brother Lance, thank you. Why am I here? The Lord. It's all about him. We all know that. The Evans and the Rudolphs and Steadfast, and they all sing and we all go, "Praise the Lord." Do we actually really feel that? Or do we just do the, as my old pastor used to say, the Christianese? We just know what to say at the right time. "Oh yeah, I love the Lord, brother." Do you know how many people I meet all the time? You know how many transient people who are on the side of the road that I hand a tract to and a pack of crackers, and I'm like, "Hey man, do you know the Lord Jesus Christ?" And they're like, "Oh yeah." all right, I'm not judging their state in life, but everybody you meet knows the Lord, every single one of them. We can't lose focus. We can't be unfaithful to Him for what He did for us. And I've done that. I've been unfaithful in my calling, folks. And I know I'm not alone, but it's hard to admit those things to a house full of people. Do you know that you folks, I can look at some of y'all, and just from this meeting alone, I see people, and I say hi to folks, and they mean so much to me, and you folks mean so much to me. And they look at me and say, "Hey, Brother Joe, how you doing? How's school? How's this? How's that?" And I'm like, "You remember that? Do you know how much that does for me? What a fellowship and a brotherhood that we have as Bible believers and as Christians in general, that we are all part of the body of Christ. I can't even relate to some of the own members of my own family sometimes. And I see some of you folks for one day, 3 days, 4 days a year, ever since coming here for the first time, and what a blessing the body is. Well, we have to be faithful in our service. We have to be faithful to our Savior because of what He did for us. And we have to be faithful in our stand. And this is where it really got to me. In verse 11, when I was reviewing this, I mean, it got to me. "Then said I, Lord, how long?" And then we read the rest of the passage for sake of time, and I won't, but it's until death or rapture, folks. There's no quit. There's no stop. As my pastor says all the time, there's no retirement in the Christian life. It's forever. So I'm urging you today in the few short minutes that I have to be up here and bare my soul to you, don't do what I did. Don't do what I've done. All right? Stick it out. Stay with it. Make a stand for the Lord. Because He's worth it. The salvation we have through Him is it trumps everything you could have in this life. And then to try to expound on that, it just takes too much time. There aren't words for the love and for the gift that He gave. So whatever service He's given you, do it. If you're saved in here, and I'm sure most of us are, love Him. Love Him for it. Be faithful to Him in whatever He gives you to do in that service. And whatever that service is, He's worth it, and stand for it.